Yes, indeed. Hour number two, taking you right up till 7 o'clock. The Kings tomorrow taking on the San Antonio Spurs. Yes. We'll be on from 3 to 6, then game night at 6. The pregame at 7, the 7:30. Very easy homestand, by the way, with San Antonio, the Clippers, Oklahoma City, Toronto on Sunday, and then, of course, the Houston Rockets. So you remember last week we talked to Dave Yeager, the Dave Yeager Show brought to you by Petkus Brothers, and he said he didn't sleep much before the Pelicans game.
That's right.
May not sleep for the next 7 days. Coach, how are you? Coach, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yep, can hear you. I'm worried.
Yeah, you know. I can hear you fine. But I learned a ton. Two things we will not be discussing on this show today is the electoral vote or the Dallas Cowboys. I'll stay away from those two things, I guess.
Hey, let's add the Minnesota Vikings to that list.
Man, you know why I celebrated every single time we won earlier this year, because I knew it was going to be a tough year. And, they're struggling now with the injuries.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
that's right, Coach.
Hey, Coach, how much does it cost for you to fill up your truck?
I have to say.
I have one too, Coach.
$78.
Big
tank, though.
Probably about $20 more than it cost you when you were in Memphis, right? Well, you know, the price of gas in Memphis is, what, $1.90 now? I mean, for crying out loud.
Yeah, $2.09. Yeah, you got it.
Oh, my gosh. Dave Yeager Show brought to you by Petkus Brothers. Coach, let's talk about the stretch you were just on, and now you've had some days off. And how valuable are you finding your team right now, having just a little bit room to breathe, kind of re-energize, kind of, for lack of a better term, get on the same page, get on track, whatever you want to call it. But that was a rough stretch you went through.
It was, and I was proud of our guys. You know, we took some bumps in the road, took some losses. You know, the Miami game doesn't sit real great with me. I was proud of our guys in that game because we were so poor at Atlanta. And I thought, you know, we deserve to win. We played hard enough to win and just didn't work out. Well, then we had a little hangover in Orlando. We're not very good at Milwaukee. And then trip up Toronto on the last day of the trip. So then you take a day off and you come back home. And the first game back home can be difficult on a coast. Offense came easy for us early in the New Orleans game. And we relaxed, I thought, defensively. But we got the win, and then the Lakers game was a tough one because it felt like we were getting shots, but I also felt like we had an opportunity there in the first half to push that thing or keep that thing at 15, 18. Maybe you squirrel it into 20-point lead there. We didn't finish out the quarter very, very well. They get it back to 10, and they're kind of a feel-good team. When they feel good, the ball's going in. They feel good, more shots go in. And it just seemed like the basket shrunk for us on our end. And it was disappointing because, you know, I felt like, you know, we had a good game plan, guys play hard. We just lost focus there for a little bit, and then it ran the other way on us. And that was unfortunate. So, you know, you got a situation there in Portland where you play 11 and 17, and it'll be the last time we talk about it because it seems like I keep bringing that up. But just to go out there and let go of the rope and get beat by 30, we did not, you know. And everybody that played, contributed. We hung in there. We took their shots. You know, it comes down to the last couple possessions in an overtime game, and kind of think we ran out of gas there a little bit. But, you know, I'm proud of our guys. So I wish our record was a little bit better, absolutely. So now you come into a four-day break where if you're in college, you know, you practice twice a day and you just hammer them. And for us, it's exactly what you said, Grant. It's a little bit of mental rest, refocus, get your legs underneath you. Day off Saturday, non-contact Sunday, went really hard yesterday and long, and then went hard and short today. In fact, one of the scrimmages was tied, and I think, Doug, you've seen this 100 times. The coach wants to run one more drill.
Not a chance.
Or let's play two more, and you know what happens. You know what happens. Somebody goes down, you know, and so we cut it there, got some more shooting in, and hopefully, you know, we'll come out with some fresh legs and fresh minds tomorrow night.
Coach, I am glad to hear that because I've been selling optimism, because what I saw from this team was in Toronto, no quit. In Portland, no quit. Bad teams quit, and the Kings absolutely did not do that. My question to you is, with that optimism, is now you're in games. How do you start to get them to believe and close that game out and win those games?
Well, I think, you know, everybody's always going to remember the last plays of games or the last 2 minutes, I think. You know, we did a 3 22-minute scrimmages today. I don't think we're finishing quarters very well.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're turning the basketball over at times when we don't need to, and our turnovers are down. Okay, so that's good. But at times where, you know, it kind of bit us with the Lakers, didn't get the possessions that we're looking for. Maybe we're fouling too much at end of quarters when you're in the penalty. A little extra shove here, bada boom, bada bing, is two free throws.
Yep.
And so those things add up to 4, 5, 6 points, and then you get to the total at the end of 48 minutes, and then you're in a close game where it is different when you come down the stretch with a 3 to 5 point lead. It's just complete different for me, the way that I can do things, and the less stress on every single possession to score. So those little things are important. And then, you know, I think DeMarcus and Rudy are good closers. And I think, you know, you try to get the ball in their hands and make some play. You know, I think we've given them that opportunity. I think they do have certainly a challenge in front of them because the other team knows that they're good closers and attack them as well. So we get a couple buckets to fall here or there and you know, feel like we'd have another win or two and feel real good about it.
Coach Dave Yeager, the Dave Yeager Show, brought to you by Pekkas Brothers. Coach, 11 games, is that enough for you to figure out your rotation, or are you still tinkering with it?
Well, you know what I did was I just, you know, I sat in front of the team and I just said, for better or for worse, here's what we're going to do. And I don't need to do individual meetings and individual counseling sessions for guys who are or are not in the rotation or are not where they, you know, every player, as they should, thinks they should have a larger role. And so that's just the way that it is going to be for a while. That doesn't mean it won't change or I won't change my mind. But that way every guy knows, you know, this is my role. It may be 10 games, it may be 40 games, it may be 2 games, but that's the direction we're going to go. I think as players, you want to know. You know, you want to know, okay, I'm a top 7 guy. I'm probably getting regular minutes at regular intervals. I kind of know exactly when I'm going the game. Players 8, 9, and 10, depends on the night, if we're playing small, if we're playing big, or we get foul trouble, or those kinds of things will change their minutes, but probably not the fact that they're going to play. And then players 11 and 12, assuming that you were saying our 3 guys are in the D League, are probably not going to play, but have to be ready for their opportunity.
Coach, I don't know if you could hear that, but that was an absolute air hug that I just gave you, because I, as a former player, I so appreciate when it's just out there. It doesn't, and it's out there in the broadest way that you put it. It doesn't allow for clicks. It doesn't allow for misunderstandings. There's a lot of different things. The Kings, playing to the level of competition. Can you speak to that? Because I've been saying that, in my opinion, these 5 games, I don't think we have to worry about how they're going to come out, because the teams are good. They've played good against good teams. What's your thoughts there?
I think you're accurate. I think where you struggle, though, is because you play up a level, perhaps, in some people's perception, when you're playing better teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe that's not as good as you are. Maybe it is. Hopefully it is.
Okay? Right, right.
But then where the flip side is what bites you.
Yes.
When you're playing a team, they look at you the same way. We're 4-7, they're 4-7. We got a great chance to get a win here against the Kings.
Right.
And if you don't come with that mindset, and you know what, 82 games, you can't get it up like you can in a football season. You know, it's once a week. So you got to go out and you got to be a pro and you got to grind. And that's how you lay down a foundation of hard work and competitive toughness. So, yeah, I'm hoping that we perform well. I'm hoping the ball goes in the goal a little bit more, make some shots. We can keep our turnovers down. We're playing slower, and the reason we're playing slower is because I think our biggest problem is turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if we can maximize a possession, I don't want to play slow. I think it's, you know, ugh. But it gives us a chance to limit our turnovers, which if we limit our turnovers, it'll really help our defense. And we get our defense solid, and then we can start playing a little bit faster. But we got to set that anchor, and especially during that road trip, you know, our turnovers killed our defense. There's no chance to defend against turnovers, especially bad ones.
Coach, one more point, because as I'm listening to you, there's a difference in playing fast, meaning what my coach used to call pivot, pass, and tear, you know what, And the fact of getting the ball across the court.
I've never heard that before.
That's Coach Asbury of Pepperdine. He was a piece of work, Coach, let me tell you. But you get the ball across half court in a good amount of time, but then you play quickly in the half court set, meaning guys are moving and passing. Do you mean the running, or do you mean once you get across, play with the pace inside of the half court?
Yeah, both. And I think San Antonio does it really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the best in the league. They might not. They're going to run the ball up the floor, but if they don't have something that they really have defined as a really good shot, which is especially an open corner three, mm-hmm. They're trying to use 22 seconds of the shot clock, and so that's what we're trying to do. That doesn't mean. But we got to get up and get into offense quicker. I think we talked about that last week, too. We can't be looking at the shot clock going, okay, there's 12, there's 13, and we're making our first pass. We've got to get all five guys up the floor and then utilize more of the shot clock, put our bodies on people, get guys, some open shots and a little bit more Aaron Aflalo, a little bit more kickouts, get Darren Collison going a little bit. And then certainly you still got your meat and potatoes guys that you're always going to go to, which is DeMarcus and Rudy.
You talked about Darren Collison. We all know he missed the 8 games. You know, to me, his shot's not where it normally is. But, you know, has he caught up for the most part? You know, and how important do you think these couple of days of practice were for him, Coach?
I think it's been good. It's a tough dynamic for him because he's going to play with a bunch of different dudes. There's going to be times where he plays with one unit, the other unit. And then there's times where I think, our best pick and roll combination is because he's such a threat to score, could be he and DeMarcus. I think Rudy and DeMarcus is a load for people to handle. But it takes a minute for me to get to that. Can't just have Rudy bring the ball up. Doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. It could work, but it doesn't work very well. Where Darren can get into a blazing pick and roll, can get his shot and hold that big hostage, and then boom. There's DeMarcus now, and it was told to me, and I think it's very, very true. Any NBA action where somebody has to close to DeMarcus Cousins is torture for that defender.
Yes,
torture.
Sir.
When they can just keep body on him and try to muck it up and make it a gray game. But if any kind of action like that, so those kinds of things where Darren's trying to pick and choose and learn which group he's playing in and what we're looking for is helpful.
You know, Coach, you just said something. I've mentioned it on air a couple times about when guys can lay on DeMarcus. It's different playing him that way because now there's a battle and he'll wrestle with you. And I agree, getting bodies off of him and then they're closing on him. So how do you get the guys to believe in – because we would do this sometimes where you come down and just say, get in the post, I'm going to drop it to you, as opposed one, two passes, he moves. Now when he catches the ball, it's a whole different dynamic. How do the guys buy into that?
Well, I think the guys are all good with that. But, you know, DeMarcus is an extremely good rebounder, so a lot of times he is trailing the play. And so what kind of actions can you put him into, rip him into the post?
Mm.
Because I don't want him in there the whole time. I don't want him on the perimeter the whole time. Where you can, at different points in the game, you can control the tempo to me in basketball by putting the ball in the low post. And so to get a little movement into it is optimal because, we went through this in Memphis. You know, the weak side stands there and goes, okay, here it comes. You're going to go. I'm going to cover for you. You ready to cover for me? Okay, we're all going to go. Let's hit it. Let's double team. And so you put him on the move a little bit. It's a little more difficult of where teams know where they can help from and where they can double from.
Coach, at the end of the game, during your post-game press conference, you were asked by one of the members of the media from Portland about DeMarcus Cousins, and I was I was hoping that you could talk about that now on this show because, you know, we have to talk about him every day because he's the best player and we get asked about him. And I took on the notion this year that, hey, new arena, new coaching staff, clean slate, I'm forgetting what's happened in the past. The past is the past. Let's start fresh. For those that did not hear, what's it been like for you working with DeMarcus Cousins here in the early part of the season?
I think he's been excellent. Coaching from the other sideline, you sometimes you get a different vibe or you feel this or you feel that, and I've not seen that. I think he's been tremendous. He's taken some hits, and he creates a lot of contact on almost every play. And so the way that he's conducting himself and carrying himself is like, you know what, I'm too good to worry about that stuff. He still gets upset, still doesn't like getting cheap shot or hit. And I'm not saying he is or is not, but he's held his head, he's held his breath, and just tried to get back on defense or get into the next set And we have the, you know, the next play mentality of let's just go on to the next one. Let's go on to the next one. And it might be the next game. Sometimes some games are tough and didn't feel like it went your way, but hey, let's go get the next one. And I think he's been conducting himself very, very well. I'm very impressed. And the same thing can be said for Rudy Gay. You know, there, the things that were said before the season, all this and that, we talked about it last week. He's been all in. He's been a good team guy. He's a wonderful human being as well. And so having those two guys really, really bought into what we're trying to do and trying to build and try to do it, you know, there's lots of right ways to do things. Do it one of those right ways, and they've been in all in on that.
Coach, you don't need to say it because you'll get fined. I'll say it. Damn bad calls. There's a few of them out there that I see. Do you guys send any tape into the league showing them what we and you are seeing when you're trying to ref a DeMarcus Cousins?
Yeah, so to me, it's a two-pronged issue. It's one, you know, you can jump up and down and say, you missed this call, of which they never, ever change them. I haven't seen one yet. And but what you're trying to do is just bring some light to maybe did you think about this? You know, he didn't look like he got hit from this angle. We need this out guy to, you know, keep his eyes in on, you know, he gets, you know, raked across the eyeballs or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is the larger themed ones where, you know, on occasion you'll send in a package of clips and hey, you know, in these kinds of plays right here, kind of a family of plays, it you know, appears that there's excessive contact or, you know, his speed, rhythm, balance, and timing is off because of the contact here in these kinds of plays. And if they share that and move on, you know, that's internal, of course. But, you know, you always want to fight for your player, and you want him to be as great as he can be.
Coach, enjoy the evening. We'll look forward to seeing you out at Golden One Center tomorrow. Thanks, as always.
It's getting chilly, boys. I'm at the gas station. People got some coats on like it's winter or something.
Hey, it could be worse. You could be in Minnesota.
You guys enjoy your day, man. You're well rolling today, too. I'm turning you back on right now.
All right.
That is, well played, Mr.
You
Napier.
Know what I mean? He's in freaking California.
Hey.
All right? It's getting chilly out. He's from Minnesota. All right? He'd be ice fishing right now if he were home. He'd be sitting in a little hut, all right, shivering on that little frozen wooden bench with his, you know.
He'd have a tank full of gas.
He'd have a tank full. Well, he'd have a couple of propane tanks where he was with. And he'd have that little hole in the water. And, you know, he'd be ice fishing. And he's complaining about the weather here. He's not really complaining. He just said it's getting a little chilly.
Yeah. And those horses would not be happy.
Hey, let me tell you
either.
Something. These Minnesota guys, they are freaking spoiled. Really? It's getting chilly? Did I just hear the coach say that?
He did. I like it, man.
I mean, I
like hearing from Coach.
Is he a beauty or what?
Yeah, he is awesome, man. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Oh, my gosh. The only one that you want to talk about chili, Blair Walsh is chili. They cut him today, their kicker, who just can't make an extra point. All right, so actually, you know what? They're having a heat wave. I just looked up the weather. In Minneapolis right now, it's 48 degrees. 48 degrees in the middle of November in Minneapolis.
Man, we've had some times in, let me tell you, in Minneapolis. I mean, it's so cold that I'm just like, you know, I got the hat, the jacket, and it's just coming through you. Like,
hey, Sunday, though, it's supposed to be a high of 34 and a low of 24.
You hear that, Coach?
Yeah, you hear that, Coach? It's going to be this weekend in your home state, a low of 24.
Woo! And we'll be in the 60s, probably.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Getting a little chilly out there. He's already spoiled because he's been in California for a couple of months, and now, you know, it's not 70 anymore. He's getting a little, you know, it doesn't take long.
No,
hey,
it does not.
I came here from Central Illinois, and let me tell you something. I got spoiled real quick,
well, let
too.
Me tell you, we came from Toronto.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Yeah, blizzards in April, huh?
That is an old boy, you know what I mean?
Oh, yes, I do. The great white north, as they call it, beautiful city,
I should
but
have
cold.
You know, next time we have the coach on, we'll ask him if he, you know, is an ice fisher. You know, he's a hunter.
Yes.
So I don't know if, you know, that's in his hunting repertoire of ice fishing.
What he hunts for? Elk, deer, rabbits, you know. I was a rabbit hunter as a kid.
Rabbits?
Yeah, with my dad. I would do Van Dore. I'd be sitting right there. He'd shoot them.
Rabbits?
Honk the horn. They stop. See, that's the key, Grant.
When that's you honk, cheating.
What do you mean that's cheating?
Yeah, you're honking what, a horn trying to get a rabbit.
You got elk calls and all these different calls. That's the same thing.
You got to honk your horn in a car to get a little tiny rabbit. Then shame on you.
Come on, Grant. We'd go home with six rabbits in a barrel full of fish, man.
Cheating.
That is not cheating. The stew was awesome.
So when we get to coach on next week, yes or no? Ice fishing or no?
Nah, because he just said it was a little cold. I do not see him sitting out there. I don't see it. No for the ice
Could
fishing.
Could you imagine the coach ice fishing?
I can't. Now I can imagine him shooting a deer and getting back in the truck with the deer in the back. But ice fishing, you got to stand out there and tend that thing.
Well, first of all, here's what I don't understand. You know how cold it gets. So the ice gets real thick. All right.
Right. Chainsaw.
Is that what you got to do with chainsaw? See, I'd be worried about cutting my foot off.
Well, you just aren't that coordinated.
My wife just texted me. You know what she said?
Oh, boy.
Elmer Fudd. Is that a beauty or what? Elmer Fudd.
You're a piece of work. Hey, Elmer never honked a horn. You can bet that.
Do you wear your little cap when you go after rabbits?
Look, I'd run down, and this is a little graphic, but I'd run down, grab them by the legs, and you'd have to bang, bang on the ground, and you bring them back and lay them out.
You do what?
You got to, you know, if they're still a little good.
No.
Okay, well, then we go from there, and we would go. This is how we ate, man. So we'd go fishing. We'd catch.
Well, you know what? You were obviously in a vehicle because you were honking your horn. You could just drive down to the grocery store, too, you know.
We didn't have that much money, Grant. Cut it out.
All right. Well, if you had enough, you know, you were in a car, you're honking a horn, you could drive to the store.
You are something else, man.
Elmer Fudd.
That's Elmer Fudd. Yeah.
Elmer Fudd.
What was her name that Charles gave her?
Willie Maisden.
Willie right. Maisden. Okay. I'm Elmer Fudd, and she's Willie Maisden.
Speaking of Charles Davis, he's going to be on a 502. We'll be right back here on Sports 1140. Great stuff from Dave Yeager, the coach of the Kings. And coming up in about 30 minutes at about 5:02, Charles Davis.
Hey.
The NFL on Fox. He just did the Rams in New York. We'll get his take on what's going on with the Rams as they have announced Jared Goff. Something else I wanted to ask you, and Monday Night Football has always been the show for football, all right?
Yes.
Back with Dandy Don and Frank and Howard Cosell. And throughout the years, you know, Monday Night Football has been the staple of football coverage.
Yes.
And Sean McDonough is a very qualified, very seasoned veteran play-by-play guy. I just don't see a fit with him and John Gruden. I think it's awkward. It's not the byplay that you normally get with Monday Night Football. It's almost like John Gruden doesn't like Sean. Now, I'm not saying that's the case, but I just don't think it's a good fit.
Well, you gotta know that dynamic. And when you look at Gruden, he's it. Because
yes.
That's when I think of, you'd say, Howard Cosell and all of those guys. Somebody with personality, it's just different. They're gonna
John Madden.
John Madden, perfect. Well, Gruden fits right into that. Now, who's going to be that other person? Do they need a third person in the booth, maybe? Somebody that...
Yeah, I don't think John Gruden would work well with a third person in the booth. Yeah. I don't think he would like that.
Well, I would like to know what are the ratings on that, not based upon, you know, just them in the booth together.
Yeah.
Because you got to get somebody... It needs
Sean
to be...
Sean McDonough's dry. He's dry. He doesn't have a great sense of humor. Like last night, you know, Sean McDonough went to Syracuse, and there were two times last night when he made a reference to Syracuse, and John Gruden didn't even respond to it.
Yes.
And it's almost like John Gruden left him hanging out to dry, you know, and it really was bad TV. You got to have byplay there. You got to at least, if you John Gruden, attempt to make a joke of some sort.
Something Orangeman, something. Yes. Yeah. Well, that's why if it's not going to be a third person, you gotta get somebody that matches Gruden's personality, but comes off with him really good. Because I love hearing Coach on TV. Gruden is in that Gruden grinder and all those great stuff.
All right. Somebody said, guys, I had a rough day at work today, and listening to you on the way home made this day a lot better. Thank you. Well, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
You
know?
I appreciate that. Yes.
All right. Somebody has a question for you on the text line. Can you read it? Just read it for our audience.
It says, question for Doug. Now that you're doing so well for yourself, do you still honk the horn to get your rabbit, or do you go to the grocery store?
You know, they don't sell rabbit in the grocery stores
They? It's been quite some time since I've eaten rabbit, actually, I was a kid. It's good, man. Rabbit stew was awesome. Yeah, a lot
is
of
it?
Potatoes and carrots and
what about
celery.
Rabbit just without the stew? What about just rabbit as rabbit?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, it is good.
All right. It's good.
Frog, have you ever had frog?
No.
Alligator?
No.
You got to step out, man. Me and you, we got to go step out, man. I had alligator in Toronto, man.
Frog, alligator in Toronto, Canada.
Yes,
they get
I did.
Alligator in Toronto.
I don't know, but I had it there.
It ain't fresh, okay? Yeah,
well, it was good. Let me tell you, it was good.
It's not fresh if it's the alligator in Toronto.
Frog legs are awesome.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. We got to get you. I know Star's listening, so get him to step out a little bit.
Star's from Texas, so she's stepped out before. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
I mean, you know what they eat down in Texas?
Well, see, down there, alligator, frog legs.
Rattlesnake.
I haven't done that.
No?
No. I'm not a big snake fan.
All right, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. I'm curious what you would think. Do you think Sean McDonough and John Gruden make a good team? Because I don't. I was waiting. I want to give him a half a season before I came on and ripped Sean McDonough, because Sean McDonough is a very seasoned, very respected broadcaster, all right? So it's not like Sean McDonough is not a good broadcaster, because he really is. I just don't think it's a good fit with John Gruden. That's my opinion.
Hey, well, he may come on this week and impress you with his Spanish. They will be in Mexico, so you never
know.
Oh,
that's right. They are going to Mexico City this week.
He may come on and impress you this week.
You know what? Mexico City, Raiders, Texans, 7,200 feet.
Yeah.
Pollution.
How many people fit in there?
Stadium? It's mammoth. They've had World Cups in that stadium before.
So 100, they got to be 100,000.
It's a lot. Yeah.
Wow. You think they'll fill it up?
Oh, they've sold out the game in 10 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, that part should be great. Now, all the rest of it, well, we won't get to see that part, Grant, because we won't be there. But you've been there, so you know the pollution, the altitude, and all that.
Yeah, now, of course, the Kings played indoors, but the air pollution is among the worst in the world in Mexico City. And we were there in December last year, and it was horrible. I mean, horrible. Mm-hmm. There was not a cloud on the sky, and you could, you know, I remember working out on the 15th floor at the hotel we were at, and you could barely see, you know, any distance because of the pollution.
Wow. Yeah, that is. Well, hey, from a visual standpoint, I'm sure that they are going to give us their absolute best. It'll be interesting. Monday Night Football. I don't know how I'm feeling. I'm going to wait and judge. But in Mexico, I would think you would want Monday Night Football right here in Oakland with the Raiders playing well. That would have probably been the best choice.
Mrs. Napier wants you to know that her version of stepping out is going to Mastro's.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's our version of stepping out, where we get fine steaks and seafood, all right?
Okay. Well,
you know, that's how we step out.
Okay, so no alligator, frog legs.
No.
Come on, Grant. I mean, you could just taste it. And then you say,
I would taste it, but I mean, I'm not going to order it for my meal.
So you would allow me to order it, and then you would taste it?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
It's not something
we can do that.
Yeah, all right. We can do that. It's not my cup of tea. You know what I mean? It doesn't look appetizing to me.
Well, when it's on the plate, it just looks like a fried piece of chicken. You don't see the alligator. Come on. Is that what you're thinking?
No, I'm not thinking. I mean, I know it doesn't come out looking like an alligator on your plate. I mean, come on.
I'm saying, really?
It's not like you order a whole fish and it comes out with a fish with the head and the tail. I get the fact that when you order alligator, it doesn't come your table with it completely intact.
You've seen a pig on the table before, right?
That's a very good point.
Okay, well, they don't do that. They bring it out and it's, you know.
All right, so here's the deal. I want to follow up on this because we're getting some text messages. What do you think of Sean McDonough as a team with John Gruden? This is Grant Napier and Doug Christie on Sports 1140. Don't forget Charles Davis. Next segment at 5:03. Kings and Spurs tomorrow. Darren Collison's going to be on with The Drive tomorrow at 7:35. So if you're on your way to work tomorrow, you want to get the latest on the Kings-Spurs game, Darren Collison will be on with the gang in the morning. I guess Katie's off this week, so it will be just Dave and Nate.
Yeah, I may have to call in and Raz Collison, call in as one of my other personalities.
Is that right?
Yeah. Hey, Darren, how are you? I got a question for you,
You're
Darren.
Gonna call in as Homer Fudd?
No, 7:35. Yeah, I'll be tuned in. I want to hear what D. Colley has to say.
You get up early, huh?
Yeah, I get up about 6 a.m. every day.
Do you really?
Yeah, the alarm sometimes goes off. Most times I'm up a few minutes before it, and you know, so it doesn't wake my wife up. That's just how it is.
All right, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. The Kings will be in action, as we said, tomorrow and then Friday. I mean, this homestand, wow. Spurs, Clippers, Raptors, followed by the Thunder and the Rockets, and then you hit the road for 10 days.
Wow. Yes. And let me tell you, obviously the Spurs are fantastic, but the Clippers, I've been tuning into a few games. They are playing some good basketball. Blake Griffin looks as spry as he has in quite some years.
I think that right now, and again, they don't hand trophies out in November, I think they're the best team in basketball right now.
Yes. Baamute, they found a defender on the perimeter.
Baamute can play. He can guard three positions.
Yes, he can. And, of course, you know Seattle's own Jamal Crawford, Rainier Beach High School. Yes, sir.
When you talk about Luke Baamute and his ability to defend, you being such a great defender when you play, what do you like about the way he does his job?
I really like that he uses his hands. He's long. He's aggressive on defense. And it seems that this is, in my opinion, watching him, one of the things that is probably the best about him is he dies to every play. And what I mean by that is guys are going to score on you in this league. They're just that good. But that doesn't wane his competitive drive at all. He just keeps going, keeps going, keeps going. And he can cover a few different spots.
All right. Again, the Kings playing tomorrow. We've got all the action for you. Tip off at 7:30. Good game going on right now with Cleveland and Toronto. And the score is 49-40. The Cavaliers, Toronto's won three in a row. They have not lost since they lost to Sacramento a week ago Sunday. The Raptors have not lost a game since that point in time. And again, it's now a six-point game. 49-43. How about this back-to-back for Toronto?
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland tonight, at home tomorrow against the Warriors.
Wow. Yeah, whoever made that up, just they were a little upset with the Raptors because that is a tough one. Because you got to think about it. Both of those teams were in the NBA Finals last year, so that's just saying how good they are. But then you add the travel and what have you. Hey, but you want to do it, you got to do it. Do it versus the best.
Early on, you know, you look at some of the standings, particularly in the West, 6-5 right now has you in 7th and 8th. And the Thunder have all of a sudden lost four in a row. I have not watched them during this losing streak, but they got off to a great start, all right? And now, after being 6-1, they've now lost four in a row. The Lakers are playing very well. They're 6-5. Have you watched the Thunder play recently?
Yes, I have. And, you know, the aggressiveness of Russell Westbrook, obviously, it reminds me of the teams in L.A. with Kobe, except Kobe wasn't a point guard. And you keep them in the game. If the Lakers stayed in the game, and then at the end, Kobe would close it. And you're looking at a Russell Westbrook who's, you know, almost averaging a triple-double each night. But they're looking for who's going to be that number two and number three guy. Oladipo, when he scores, they do some good things. But he's been a little bit sporadic. But, you know, they will be in the mix, but they're going to be up and down because you're depending so much on Russell.
All right, and another team that I'm really looking forward to seeing, and it's at the end of the homestand, and that's the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at that team, if you get them on a night where they're all clicking, that could be frightening, you know?
Yes.
But they're 6-4. They're still trying to figure it out a little bit. The question with them, can they guard anybody, all right? Is their defense going to be able to stop anybody? But, you know, I'm looking at them and the points they're scoring. I mean, we know they can just flat out put the ball in the basket.
Yes. Well, you know, the style of play that D'Antoni plays is up-tempo. Now you're dealing with a James Harden that is going to continuously have the ball in his hand. So leading the league in scoring, I believe, and assists. What are you going to get from other guys? Sacramento's own Ryan Anderson, you know he's going to knock down threes. But interesting team. They're going to probably win quite a few games, Grant, in the regular season. But it's going to be that defensive piece that probably isn't going to allow them to go too much farther than that.
James Harden, 30.3 points a game, 12.6 assists, just under 8 rebounds,
wow,
shooting 50% from the floor.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I've watched a couple games, and his decision-making, and he's going to probably lead the league in turnovers like Magic Johnson.
He's averaging 5.7. That's a lot.
Magic did the same thing. So when you have the ball and you're dropping dimes like that, it's going to happen. But he's playing – I mean, he's playing in D'Antoni's system. And can Eric Gordon stay healthy? There are some things that they have to do there. They have a good defender in Trevor Ariza. So they have some good pieces, but I think that's more regular season.
All right, and then you have Ryan Anderson, who the Kings were looking at, and then he signed with Houston. He's averaging under 13 points a game. He's averaging 7 rebounds a game, shooting not very well this year from the floor. Now, he's a three-point specialist, but he's only 38% floor.
I would say, actually, Grant, that would to be expected because of the system. See, he's playing in more of when he was in New Orleans, they were setting up. The ball's kicked out. He's got good legs underneath him. So I would say you would probably expect this from Ryan, if not for the whole season, for the first two-thirds of the season until he gets his legs in that type of a style to start knocking down three-pointers at a high clip.
Interesting. Because, you know, you would think he's – as they learn how to play with one another, I would think he's going to be able to have open shots all day long if he gets the ball.
Yeah. I mean, the prototypical stretch four can absolutely knock it down. But when you're getting up and down that much, if you haven't done that before and you're required to shoot three-pointers, that could be a little much to ask.
And my weekly update, not because I don't like the guy, but because I'm just trying to make a point, because I do like the guy, Seth Curry this year is shooting 42% floor. He's shooting 30% from beyond the three-point line. He's averaging 8 points a game. As I said, he's a role player, boys and girls. He is not a starting point guard. And right now, he is struggling offensively, 42% floor, 30% from beyond the circle.
You know, I haven't watched Dallas play yet, but I know that they're not a good team. And his skill set is going to be applied someplace. Whether it's Dallas or not, I'm not sure. But when you can play a combo guard, not a starter like you said, but you can come in and give some good minutes, and he has a match for a jump shot. And when it gets hot, it's hot. He definitely has a place, and he's going to have to find that right rhythm in that right place right now.
All right, when we come back, Charles Davis, NFL on Fox, that's next.